Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11. Jada Bharata instructs King Rahugana. Text 1. Brahmano Vacha. Kovida vada vadan vadasyato nati vidam virishta nasurayo hi vya vaharam enam tadvava marshena sahamananti. Brahmanu vacha, akovida vada vadan, vadasyato nati vadam virishta, nasuryo hi vyavaharam enam, tadvava marshena sahamananti. Kovida vada vadan vadasyato nati vadam varishta suryo hi vyavaharamena sadvama harshena sahamananti. Ramano vacha Kovida vada vadan dasya nato nati vadvaita suryo hi vyavaharamena tadva maharshena sahamananti. Ladies, Guru vacha. Akovida vada vadan vadasyananoti vadam varishta nasuryo hi vyavaharamenam tadva maharshena sahamananti. Brahmanu vacha. The Brahmana said, Akovida, without having experience. Kovida vada vadan. Words used by experienced persons. Vadasi, you're speaking. Ata, therefore. Na, not. Ati vidam. Of those who are very experienced. Varishta, the most important. Na, not. Suraya, such intelligent persons. He, indeed. Vyavaharam, mundane and social behavior. Enam, this. Tatva, of the truth. Avamarshena. Fine judgment by intelligence. Saha, with. Amananti, discuss. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Brahmana Jad Bharat said, "My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man, considering the absolute truth, does not talk in this way." Please repeat. The Brahmana Jad Bharat said, "My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak in a way, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relationship between a master and a servant or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man, considering the absolute truth, does not talk in this way." Purport. Krishna similarly chastised Arjuna. Asochan anvasochastvam pragyavadam stravasase. While speaking learned words, you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. The Bhagavad Gita 2.11. Similarly, among people in general, 99.9% try to talk like experienced advisors, but they are actually devoid of spiritual knowledge and are therefore like inexperienced children speaking nonsensically. Consequently, their words cannot be given any importance. One has to learn from Krishna or his devotee. If one speaks on the basis of this experience, that is, on the basis of spiritual knowledge, one's words are valuable. At the present moment, the entire world is full of foolish people. Bhagavad Gita describes these people as mudhas. They're trying to rule human society, but because they're devoid of spiritual knowledge, the entire world is in a chaotic condition. To be released from these miserable conditions, one has to become Krishna conscious and take lessons from an exalted personality like Jad Bharat, Lord Krishna, and Kapila Dev. This is the only way to solve the problems of material life. So the translation in the text, the Sanskrit in the text again. Brahmanu vacha akovida kovida vada vadams vadasyato nati vadam virishta nasuryo hi vyavaharamenam tadvama marshena sahamananti. The Brahmana Jad Bharat said, "My dear king, although you are not at all experienced, you are trying to speak like a very experienced man. Consequently, you cannot be considered an experienced person. An experienced person does not speak the way you are speaking about the relation between a master and a servant or about material pains and pleasures. These are simply external activities. Any advanced, experienced man, considering the absolute truth, does not talk in this way." Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhuta Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatim Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyadhyade Sadharana Svavidra Hosta Karar Samstuta Purusha Pashu Niyat Karam Chatayopatiyopeto Chatunama Gadagraja. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, men who are like hogs and dogs and camels and asses, they follow bigger hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, but they don't serve or glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead who carries a club. This is one of the This is the major point of Krishna consciousness, that Krishna is God, and that we're not God. And that not only we're not God, but presently we're under the illusory energy of God. And because we're under the illusory energy of God, therefore the insignificant soul is imagining himself to be very significant. So this is the illusion. The living entity is said to be 1/10,000th the size of Tipuheran's size, and he's in a body which is considerably bigger than that. And he thinks that ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. He thinks that he's the doer, and he thinks he's the controller, he thinks he's enjoyer, he thinks he's the savior. So these are all manifestations of the illusory energy under the three modes of nature. One is in ignorance. He imagines himself to be the doer of the activities, which are actually carried out by the modes of nature. In passion, although he may understand to some extent that he's different from the body, but still he thinks he's enjoying the body. He doesn't realize he's actually suffering in the body. And in goodness, he may realize he's not the enjoyer, he's not the controller, but he thinks that he's realized so many things and therefore he's the deliverer. But the living entity is none of these things. The best he can become is nimitra matram bhavasavasachin. The best he can become is an instrument in the hands of Krishna by giving up these illusory conceptions and accepting the direction of Krishna coming from the super soul within the heart through the via media of the representatives of Krishna and the Shastra. But those who are mudhas, they're imagining themselves to be something that they're not, namely the body. And they're so foolish that although they're in the lowest state of material existence, they think that they're in the highest. Adharma, dharma iti ya, manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatam viparitam cha, buddhisaparta tamasi. In the mode of ignorance, they think that religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion, and therefore they're always striving in the wrong direction. They think what is to be done, that's what you're not supposed to do. And what you're not supposed to do, that's what they want to do. So this is all products of the modes of ignorance. So mudha means, if I break the regular principles, if I violate all the laws of nature, then I'll become happy. The more I commit sinful activities, the mudha thinks, the happier I'll become. If I can take intoxication throughout the entire weekend, the weekend's a success. And if you can add on to that meat eating and illicit sex and a little gambling here and there, then it's a perfect weekend. And then the rest of the week they're working so they can spend the weekend in sinful activity. And maybe if they're a little pious, go to church and try to get the sinful reactions eliminated so they can go back the next week and sin again. So this is called mudha. They don't realize the tevidu swarthakatim hi vishnu or matirna krishne paratakshatova mito bipadyeta griha ratanam. They don't realize that their problem can't be solved. That it can only be solved if they take shelter of Krishna. Their very problems are attachment to material existence, material sense gratification, imagining that as they expand their sense gratification, their happiness is expanding. They think that if I have a very griha ratanam, if I have a very healthy body, if I have a nice family, if I have a nice house, if I have a nice community, if I have a nice nation, then this means that I'm expanding my happiness. But actually, one is simply expanding one's false ego. Janmaishvarya Shruti Shri Vira Edamanak Madak Puman Naivahatya Vudatu Vai Twama Kinchana Gochara. That one who's in this false conception that I have this body, and therefore I am very learned. I know so many things. I know so many things, but I don't even know who I am. I can write so many equations on the board, and they can tell me supposedly something about the material energy, but I don't realize that I'm the soul entrapped in the material energy, and that by writing equations on the blackboard won't free me from my entrapment. And after writing so many equations on the board, getting my Nobel Prize, getting all my diplomas, my students, my followers, if I leave my body in ignorance, in the next lifetime I may be a cockroach running across the same blackboard. And Shruta, Shribir, now my body is very beautiful, but wait another 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 years and see how beautiful the body was. And Dhanma, I've taken birth in a nice country like America, where we're supposed to be the law, the police of the world or the lords of the world. But with a little manipulation, suddenly I leave this body and I take birth in another place, maybe not as a human being. Maybe back in America, but maybe as a tree somewhere. One time Prabhupada was walking by a house in Switzerland, and it was a beautiful house. Perfect lawn, beautiful building, nicely painted, everything was perfect. And Prabhupada said this is very unfortunate for the person who lives here, because next birth, he'll take birth in that same house, but maybe he's a tree next to the house. He's so attached, he's made everything so perfect, he's not going to want to leave it. Therefore, his next birth, he'll take birth in the house again. Maybe he's a tree or maybe he's a rat. Shruta Shribya Janma Aishvarya. So much wealth. I'm thinking I have so much money in the bank. Therefore, I am protected. If I get sick, I can go to the best hospital. I can buy the best food. Everything is there because I have wealth. But this is all pertaining to the body. And as we become proud, thinking of ourselves to be superior to others because of wealth or beauty or education or high parentage, therefore we become bewildered and we can't chant Hare Krishna with any feeling. And if we can't cry out to Krishna, if we think we're Krishna's competitor, that why do I need Krishna? I have so much material opulence. Others who have nothing, they can go and beg to Krishna. But I don't have to, because my economic problems are solved. My material life is very blissful. I have so much opportunities for sense gratification. Why should I bother with Krishna? When I need him, then I'll go to him. So this means one is thinking that I've set up a material existence and now I become a competitor to Krishna. Bhayam dvitiya bidhanesha tasya ishadapatasya vipariyo smriti. We don't realize that this material world itself is just a product of different energies, earth, water, fire, air, ether, made in a combination that it makes it appear to be real, but actually it's just dead matter. That real existence is in the spiritual world, and there no one can compete with Krishna because Krishna has unlimited beauty. He has unlimited wealth. He has unlimited everything. Strength, fame, knowledge, renunciation. No one can even begin to imagine what Krishna's opulences are. What to speak of competing against them. So, this material world is simply a world of very insignificant illusions that people become very proud of. And in Kali Yuga, people will become proud even how much they're suffering. How much they're intoxicated, how much they're under the control of the illusory energy. They write songs about it, they have movies about it, they write poetry about it. How much they're bewildered by the illusory energy. So this is very unfortunate, but if one can get a little knowledge by coming in contact with the devotees, then one can realize how much we're in ignorance, how much we're bewildered by the illusory energy, how much we're unaware of our real identity. We may imagine ourselves to be this body, to be the doer of so many different things, but the more we become an instrument for Krishna, the more that we realize that actually we're not the doer. We're simply a little tiny soul who, by surrendering to one's spiritual master in Krishna and disciple succession, can realize our insignificant nature. Can realize how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful everyone else is, and how insignificant we really are. Then we can make some progress. So knowledge means to understand how insignificant we are and how little we really even know, even about our own identity. What to speak of Krishna, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. We hardly know anything about Him. We know a little bit by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of the predecessor Acharyas, by the mercy of the Super Soul in the heart. But how much do we really know about Krishna? How much do we really know about spiritual existence? How do we know even about our identity? Therefore, that's what real humility is, and how to gain that humility by becoming a servant of Krishna, and how to become a servant of Krishna in this age, that everyone, we should know everyone is in ignorance, and that's what they're actually suffering from. They're not suffering from their economic problems. We don't find people starving in the street. But they're suffering because they're in ignorance. They're ignorant about what the purpose of life is and how to achieve it. They're simply worried about whether or not the stock market's going to go up or whether it's going to go down, whether they can buy this or buy that, what their future of their, you know, sense gratification is at retirement. Can they travel around the world and go to Hawaii 3 times a year or not? But where are they going after this body? They have no idea what the purpose of life is while they're in this body, how wonderful Krishna is, how much happiness there we can achieve by becoming Krishna conscious. That's real knowledge. That's the beginning of knowledge. So, that is the job of the devotees who have a little knowledge to realize that that knowledge they're supposed to distribute to others. To give people the opportunity to find out what they can do with this valuable human form of life rather than just waste it. Be misdirected. Andaya tandiro pigiyamanas te pisha tantro rudami bada. Their leaders are all blind. And they themselves are blind. So the result is that simply they'll create more and more problems. Etan drishtim avashtabhya nashtatmanona buddhya pravant yugra karmana shaye jagatohita. No matter what they do, simply they'll create problems for themselves and others. If they don't know that Krishna is God, and the purpose of life is to surrender to Him. And we can find out how to actually serve Krishna. Naisham matis tavarurukramangrim sprishat inuarta bhagavan nivarta mahisham parurujevi sekam niskinchananam navraniti advha. That if we take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees upon our head and serve that instructions, especially as Prabhupada said, to try to help others understand their relation with Krishna, then the acharyas will become pleased, Krishna will become pleased, and will become Krishna conscious. Just like Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, we honor him as one of our predecessor acharyas because he was always absorbed in meditation upon Krishna. Although he didn't directly seemed to want to try to convince others that Krishna is God, but he was in a perfect example of someone who surrendered to Krishna. And therefore, although it appeared that he wasn't such a great preacher, simply a great devotee, but his disciple became the greatest of the preachers. Therefore, within his heart was that desire to expand Krishna consciousness, and Krishna manifested that desire through his disciple, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. And later on through our Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, following those footsteps of our predecessors, acharyas, simultaneously we should understand that we're not meant to become the enjoyers or the controllers or the saviors of anyone here. We're simply meant to become the servant of our spiritual master in disciple succession. And by serving their mission to bring other children, Krishna's other children back to the spiritual world, receive their mercy, become eligible to receive their mercy, so we can realize that we're also one of those children who who become lost in the material world. And therefore, realize how wonderful Krishna is, how wonderful Krishna's devotees are, and ultimately, how insignificant we are. So if we're thinking we're becoming more and more wonderful, and everyone else is becoming more and more insignificant, that's not a very good sign. It's supposed to be the other way. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
To help spread Krishna consciousness and in terms of preaching and feeling oneself to be the deliverer. Like what's the difference there, and how to be a preacher of Krishna consciousness without being, I guess, proud or feeling like we're the doer? Can you explain that?
Yeah, well, if we actually sincerely serve the directions coming into super succession, then Krishna will enlighten us. We'll be able to see things more and more clearly as we become more and more absorbed in the preaching. Now we may preach and have the handicap of imagining ourselves to be the distributor of this knowledge or the distributor of the book or something. So we're handicapped like that. But as we become more and more determined, more and more surrendered to the preaching mission, then gradually we'll experience the fact that actually we're simply the observer, and we're watching Krishna through his energies delivering others. That by this mission, by this preaching, not only we're apparently delivering others, but by letting Krishna deliver others, Krishna is also able to deliver us also of these illusions. So while we're preaching, sometimes we may take the credit for what we're doing, but that just means that we're still absorbed in the illusory energy, even though we may seem we're preaching, or we think we're preaching, rather than realizing it's actually Krishna and the predecessor acharyas are preaching, and there we're simply allowing them, or we're simply trying to become an instrument, and we're not trying to get in the way. Yes.
You know, we're considered to be sadhana bhaktas. You know, our Krishna consciousness is developed by our sadhana. My question is, in relationship to Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, his sadhana was extremely powerful and strict. And if someone was like that in ISKCON today, there would probably be this kind of like a labeling of fanaticism upon such a soul, you know, that would sit and chant the holy name all day and not do something in service, meaning, you know, some practical, menial, laborious service. So my question would be that where is the line for a sadhana bhakta to understand, what if you're really pushing yourself to get up in the morning and you're pushing yourself to chant your japa, you're pushing yourself to do service, is that detrimental? Is that fanatical? Or is it that we should, that a sadhana bhakta has the right to make decisions as to how much they should push and how much they shouldn't? And so, do you understand what my question is, where I'm actually...
Well, first of all, I don't think that Gaurakishore Das Babaji was pushing himself.
He was
in an ocean of ecstasy.
Yeah, I don't mean to say that he was. I'm saying that his level of Krishna consciousness and his sadhana in relationship to what we are was so extreme. You know, in other words, if someone if someone pushes themselves...
Yeah, but for him it's natural.
Yeah.
He didn't have to put, because if you're an ocean of energy, spiritual energy, the spiritual energy is just doing everything for you. You don't have to worry about anything.
That's not my question, though. My question is about us.
In other words, we have to be reasonable.
That's my question. What is that reasonable, what is that reasonable? Does that mean that I can say, well, okay, for 3 days a week, I'm not going to do this or do that because...
You have to be sincere also. We have to be sincere. It's a balance.
Yeah.
If you don't know, if you don't have the intelligence what to do, then you have to ask someone who does have intelligence. But everyone has to balance. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, Atyahara Priyasasya Prajapa Niyamagraha Ora Yuktahara Viharasya Yukta Cheta Sukaramasu Yukta Swapnu Vodasya Yoga Bhavati Dukaha Natyasnatastu Yogosti Nachai Kantamanashnata Chaiti Swapnashilasya Jagato Naivacharjana. A devotee doesn't eat too much, or yogi doesn't eat too much, or eat too little, sleep too much, or sleep too little. One who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, work, and recreation can mitigate the material pains by practice of the yoga system. So we have to be temperate.
Yeah, okay, so but you don't know my pains, and I don't know your pains. So where does the factor of truth come in? In other words, I'm telling you I'm in a lot of pain. Like, how are you going
to believe
me? I'm telling you today I'm in a lot of pain. I'm really suffering.
But ultimately, the super soul will make the decision, because he knows how sincere you are.
So then that means that we are talking to the super soul.
I'm telling you. Not necessarily, but the super soul will ultimately make the judgment.
Yeah. So basically what it comes down to, is it a principle of like taking instruction from an authority, or is it from training, or is it our own personal understanding or feeling? Or is it like what is it that determines that factor?
A combination of many things. Ultimately, how sincere we are. If we get good association and we follow good example, then we might develop our sincerity. We weren't born sincere. We were born fools and rascals. Mm-hmm. But if we choose the right Mahajan to follow and we have a little sincerity to try and follow them, then Krishna will encourage us in the right direction. So ultimately, the encouragement coming from the super soul will help us. We get the right examples to follow.
Because I'm using on one point you made, that Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj, he wasn't such a externally speaking great preacher, but then his disciple Silabhata Saranta Maharaj was extremely fascinating in his ability to preach and
therefore
spread
the
Krishna consciousness.
The amazing thing about the spiritual energy is that Gorkhashodas Babaji was so absorbed in the spiritual energy, he became so humble, he felt he was disqualified because he was a great Mahabhagavat. But actually, he had a great desire to spread Krishna consciousness, and that manifested through his disciple. It's just that he was so extremely humble, he didn't feel qualified to do so. He's Paramahansa. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.
Put the board away also?
Yeah.
Okay.